Blog Talk Radio.
Kayla, sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
sing it again. Woman to
woman,
woman, songs of the life we bring, songs of love and songs of joy. Woman to woman, yeah. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Don, thank you guys for tuning in on another wonderful Wednesday. We do welcome you to this broadcast of Woman to Woman. We thank you for just continuously supporting and joining our family and really just getting into these topics with us. And of course, tonight we have another great topic. You guys know that we are doing, for the month of May, we're talking about mothers. We'll be talking about mothers all month long, but again, we have another great topic for you guys tonight as we're dealing with other mothers. We're dealing with someone who is not necessarily your mom. It could be a stepmom, could be a grandmother, could be an aunt, or someone who's stepped into your life and been a mother to you. And so we're talking about different ways where we can honor those people or learning how to honor those people, even when it hasn't been such a great experience. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So, yeah, so we are going to get into the show. I apologize to the listening audience. I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking about the shows that we've done, and, you know, as we got into May and last week's show, which just was honoring our mothers, and this week's show talking about the other mothers. It could be anything, anybody who raised you. I think my focal point is really on, step parent. Like, we're going to talk about mother, so stepmother. I don't use the term step, and I'll get into that further on in the show. But I know that would be my focal point because we have so many, when you look at the divorce rate, we have so many divorces and we have so many people that have been married, a couple of times. And so especially with children, when you think about your children and you've been married, you know, maybe two or three times, those children have to experience this step-parenting. And so we're going to get into, I'm going to get into that portion of it, and I'm sure we're going to touch bases, and Minister LaDon may be focusing on, you know, like she said, you know, your maybe it was a grandparent that raised you or a godparent, you know, who really has a great influence in your life. So we're going to get into that on tonight. But as I was thinking, I'm kind of excited. I can't go into any details, but I'm really excited about next week. I'm gonna leave that alone. But I was up here daydreaming about next week as you were giving the introduction into tonight's show. So, if you're listening in on tonight, and you know someone that's struggling with, especially particularly with speaking of women, because you know, even though this could be men and women, but we're talking about mothers for the month of May, and we probably do something very similar next month for fathers. But if you know any women that are recently married, they're struggling trying to be a good step-parent to their husband's children, or let's say women who your ex has now gotten married and that presented a stepmother for your children, and either you or your children are not adjusting, we recommend this show. So if you know somebody that's struggling in that area, have them call into the studio or listen in through the internet tonight. This would be a good show for them to listen to, because I'm telling you, there's a place. There is a place of peace. There's a place of balance. There's a place that we could get to in this, that we would be able to co-parent together. Because when you're remarried, you and your spouse, you still co-parent. You co-parent with the ex. And so if you and the ex don't get along, then sometimes it makes it very difficult for you guys to co-parent the children together. And there's got to be a balance, because that affects the children. And I'm going to give some of my experiences about that later on in the show, because I have some experiences. I have some anxiety experiences that I can share in reference to, and I know people have felt this, especially kids. You know, how do I continue to be loyal to the other parent and still show honor and respect towards the new parent? That's a big thing for kids, you know, is how do I do that? How do I behave when they're both in the same room, you know, together? You know, my big thing was with particular, you know, how do I behave? I didn't want to show this one too much attention, because I didn't want the biological parent to get, to be hurt or disappointed. So that's a lot that kids have to deal with, because adults don't know how to be adults. Amen?
Amen. You know, one of the things I want to bring out in the show, that the word stepmom is, or step-parent rather, is originally from a Greek word. I cannot pronounce the word properly, but it's spelled S-T-E-O-P, which means orphan. And so they put, you know, orphan and associated with mom or dad, and said basically you're a parent to an orphan. But we know that when we think of that word, most of the time, like Coach D said, most of the time the mothers or the fathers are in those children's lives. And so you may not necessarily be dealing with an orphan child. And we're going to be discussing, as Coach D said, good experiences and some not so good experiences. But the first place I want to come from is getting that understanding of that that word step parent or step mom, because we're specifically talking about mothers. And so, again, usually we're dealing, when we go back to the origin of the word, people were dealing with children who were orphans. And in today's day and age, we're not usually dealing with somebody who is an orphan necessarily. We're usually dealing with someone who is, maybe their parents are divorced, or maybe their mom is still in their life and their parents have remarried, or maybe the mother needed assistance in raising the child, and that's where we bring in mom, you know, grandmother or aunt or cousin who stepped in to be a mom to this parent. And in those cases can become quite challenging, and they can become quite difficult, because not only are you dealing with necessarily the mom, but you're also dealing with these children and their idea of maybe being loyal to their mom, or trying to have space for their mom and for you coming into their life and parenting them. And sometimes they don't know how. I'm not saying all the children don't know how, but sometimes you come into contact with children who don't know how to live in this space. It's a new space, and that's where conflict can come in. And we are going to Coach D, I heard you mention earlier saying that you don't call your mom stepmom, and I want to kind of ease that into the show, if you don't mind, kind of ease it in right now, so that we can learn how to go in different directions when it comes to being a stepmom and understanding children and understanding what role they should play. Because your story is a story of success, having had two moms. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Well, I sure would like to share that. First of all, I've been blessed. Even though as a child, it was not always a comfortable situation. But both my biological parents have been remarried to their significant others for probably 50 plus years. So with that being said, in the beginning, as with anything, there was adjustment period. It was, you know, we were young kids, my brother and I. So we were very young kids. We had bad attitudes, you know. Our attitude is, you ain't my mama or you ain't my daddy. And that's the kind of, you know, behavior that we straight out of Compton. Nothing against Compton. But that's the kind of attitude we had, you know. And, so it did take adjustment. It took the step parents in this situation on both sides. It took patience. It took their love for the parent that causes them to be more diligent and, I believe, patient with the children. I believe that if the deep, committed love towards the parent was not there, that they were committed to the marriages, that it would have been very difficult to deal with unruly kids and rebellious teenagers. But throughout it all, what I could say now, hindsight as an adult, we're talking 40-something years later, I can look back and I can say, wow, I never experienced, quote, step parenting. The parenting on both ends have always been very devoted, very loving, very concerned. Needs were being met. So I say I have two sets of parents, and what makes it so easy is when I'm saying step just for the show purposes to be able to identify if I'm talking about biological or step. So when I say, so my step parents, what I can say is they both gave respect to the biological parents. The step parents both gave respect to the biological parent. That helps because everybody has a position and everybody has a role to play. And when you know your position and you know the role it is for you to play, then you play your role, and then it's not stepping on toes. You know, it's just like driving a car. You know your lane. And when you stay in your lane, you don't risk sideswiping another car or going, you know, or colliding. You don't risk any of that because you know your lane. And so I would really say that I believe that this structure that I came from knew the lanes. Now, in saying that, as a child, I didn't see that. I didn't understand that, but I see it as an adult. But as a child, I didn't see that. And as a child for me, like I said, with the rebellion and different things, you know, anytime a new parent comes on the scene, you know, there's a testing period. But I would say this is that for me, I always liked balance. I liked everything to be. I wanted everybody to be happy. You know, I always wanted everybody to be happy. So I found it hard knowing how to act. So, for example, if both of my fathers were in the room, my biological and my stepfather, I would get uncomfortable. I was very uncomfortable. And I was uncomfortable because I had loyalty to my biological father. You know, that's my daddy. But I had just as much love and respect for my stepfather, who was the person over the household that I was raised in. So I was trying to see, how do I balance? How do I be able to show them both honor and show them both respect and show them both love without one being hurt? And I mean, that you're thinking about that as a child. Adults that still deal with that, try to understand, like, wow. And so I had to deal with that. That was a big thing, and created anxiety for me as a child, even going into my teen years, you know, because there were things coming up, graduations and weddings and births and different things, and I still kind of had dealt with that anxiety. And, you know, then as I become more mature as an adult, and I got to a point where I didn't have, you know, I didn't feel like my loyalty or my commitment or my honor or my respect had to be, I didn't feel like it had to be divided. I felt like you give honor where honor is due.
That's good. And I love how you brought that out. Go ahead, Coach D.
No, I was just saying, so I just gave honor. I mean, I could step back because I don't want you to miss your point because you had a point on that.
You know me so well. You know, one of the things I was going to say is that as parents, because I've been a stepmother, and as parents, I think that I love how you brought how you felt as a child out, because I know in my instance, and I don't know for anybody else, but I'm going to be real about my experience as far as being a stepmother. When it was a difficult situation to maneuver through in the beginning, because one of the things is, and research even proves that one thing, as women, we can hold resentment much longer than men. And so our tendency is to usually want our family together, you know, our husband, our children. We've built this life and we want to keep it together. And then there's another woman on the scene. And so when that other woman is on the scene, a lot of times she is the brunt, or she bears the brunt of all of the resentment that we really should not be going through, because if it was a good situation, we would still be, you know, usually if it was a good situation, we would still be married. But she now bears the burden of carrying around the guilt, the shame, the resentment, the attitudes that the first woman has or the ex-wife has. And because of that, the children are usually within earshot of everything. Either they're in earshot or eyesight of everything that the mom is going through, the original wife or the original spouse or the original mate is going through. And so when they come around that other person or that other mother, they now feel like they have to adopt what their mother is feeling and be loyal to what their mother is feeling. They can't go, they don't have the liberty of going in and finding out how they fit in that situation. They have the tendency to say, okay, this is how mom feels. And because this is the way that mom feels, I have to support my mother. And we usually, as mothers, as the first wife or as the first spouse, as the first mate, we usually make it a hard situation for the other woman to walk into and for the children to journey through as well. And so I love that you shared that although you didn't have to have that experience, that was something that you did experience. And I think that usually people will go through that because, number one, when we think about step-parents or we talk about step-parents, the first thing is the Cinderella stepmom. You know, we have this fairy tale of what stepmoms are: mean, nasty, with a wart on the end of their nose. And so because of that, we have this presupposed idea. And sometimes that's why I think children go into the relationships thinking that they have to be loyal to their mom. And the other times is because that's the vibe that we give to our children. Amen.
Amen. So true. That's so true. One of the things I just want to bring back up a point, because you had mentioned, we were talking about step parenting, and one of the things I wanted to bring up was the word step. And I bring this up because what I was going to understand is that I got to a point in life where I stopped using the term step. And I stopped using the term step because the word step, like you said, oh, that's the point, was the Cinderella effect. When you hear the word step, it's a negative. It's negative, you know, first and foremost. And to me, the step holds no value. It holds no value when you think about that term step. Stepfather, stepmother, stepbrother, step. I don't use that term step. And so I just, you know, want to see the definition of what does step mean. We know a step when we think about, you know, you got to step into a house or step into, or, you know, a step. But it says an act of movement of putting one leg in front of the other. Okay, we know that. So we know it's a footstep. A flat surface, especially one in a series. So when you think about steps, that stuff, you know, you're thinking about something that's concrete or it could be wood. But you're thinking about something that has no life. It has no moving parts. It's not even a system. You know, a system has been defined of two or more moving parts. So when you think about a step, you're thinking about something that's stagnant. You know, it's stagnant. It has no life. So how did they come up with that word step to put in front of a human being, a person that's put into a position to act as a parent? You know, and so when you think about it like that, you know, a step, you think a step is a tool to lead you either into something or away from something. You know, when you think about steps, you know, even when you think about, okay, we're talking about that kind of step, but even when you think about taking steps, you know, when you're stepping, it's movement, it's moving. And so everything about the word step does not even come close to defining or representing parenthood or representing family, something that you say is important to you. When you think about intimacy, when you think about love, when you think about respect, when you think about honor, that word step doesn't, to me, it just takes away from all of those important things. So I stopped using the term step. And so people who know me, and I'm speaking about my parents, what people know about me is this. Is that when I'm speaking about my biological mother and my, and again, I'm saying this for show purposes, and my stepfather, I say my mom and dad. When I'm talking about my biological father and my stepmother, I say my dad and mom. And everybody that knows me knows that when I'm, they know which parent, which set of parents I'm speaking of, because I always put the biological parent first. And that's how people that know me know which parent. So I don't have to say, when, you know, when I'm saying, oh, my dad and mom, they don't, you know, or when I say my mom and dad, they don't have to say, are you talking about such and such? They already know who I'm talking about because I said my mom and dad. So that was how I started working out the thing, you know, trying to figure out ways that I could do this because I did not want to use the term step to identify my parents, who both of my extended parents have been a blessing in my life on so many levels. And I just felt like that word step was just not good enough for them. Amen?
Amen. Amen. You know, and as you were speaking about steps, the word step, one of the things that you mentioned was the value that we associate with that word step, especially when as it relates to step parents. And again, we're talking about stepmoms. And I think it's hard as a stepmother because knowing your role or knowing what value you bring to the situation, knowing what you can be hands-on with or what you should not necessarily be hands-on with. They write so many books, but not one book is the answer, you know, the be-all and end-all answer to all of the questions that we have. You know, legally, step-parents, step-moms don't have rights. However, you know, they're expected to take care of the child as the natural mother would. But then when it comes to different conversations or making different decisions, then they're expected to step back. And so that role can be a hard role to play. And so I do love hearing about the fact that, you know, somehow your parents were able to make it all work. And we do have these parents out here that haven't been able to make it work. And some of that is associated with the fact that, you know, most of the time the mothers, or biological mothers, are awarded full custody of the children. And so when the stepmother usually deals with the child, it's usually on weekends or it might be on holidays, and she might have her own natural children in the home. And then the child goes over there and she's dealing with her dad, or he's dealing with his dad and the stepmom, and then now this new set of siblings, and a lot of animosity can come up from those type of situations as well, where the children feel like, okay, she represents what I cannot have or what I don't have at home. Like maybe I don't have my mom and dad together. But now this parent, she's with my dad, and they now have a new family. And so I'm bringing that up because, again, we're learning how to maneuver through these situations. How can we, these children that we impress upon as the stepmothers, number one, I love how Coach D has situations that make it work, because she's going to be able to speak to this situation as well. But in those areas where it hasn't worked, what can we do? What things can we put in place to help the children go through it? Not only the children go through it, but the other woman go through it as well. But I wanted to ask Coach D, you have other siblings. And how did your parents make that work? Because when I don't hear you say stepsisters and stepbrothers either, like I would never know, you know, that your sister or your brother may have a different parent. I would always think, you know, in my mind, it's everybody always together. It's just like one big family. How did they meld? How did you guys meld into one big family?
Well, I think in that instance, and I'm probably more anal than my siblings are. I think my siblings really have a okay time. I don't know about my youngest brother, because I haven't really heard him speak. And when he's speaking to other people, how he referenced us. I know my sister does. She'll reference, you know. All of us use the term brother and sister, but I think that they're more loose about, you know, being matter of fact. And I just don't. I'm the oldest out of the four of us. I am the oldest. And between the youngest and me, there is a 7-year difference. So I've been knowing her whole life, you know, ever since, you know, her pretty much her whole life. And likewise with my younger brother, been knowing him mostly his whole life. So I think, you know, I just, they're my siblings. They're my brother and my sister, and I've always treated them as such. And that used to be uncomfortable for me, because as a teenager or even a young adult, this is the first time that I could really sit up and have this conversation and be transparent, because that was kind of embarrassing to me to have to say, because for example, my youngest brother was raised in the house with us. So I didn't know how to tell people that we all didn't have the same parents. To be honest with you, that was embarrassing for me. So I never did would say, oh, well, we all got different parents. So probably for me, that's why it was easier for me to accept it as what I felt like it was, is because I didn't want to have to explain to people or explain to anyone, you know, that we all had, that my, you know, if I was with my mom and dad, I didn't want to have to explain to people that there was other parents involved. And when I was with my dad and mom, I didn't want to have to explain to people that there were other parents involved. I just didn't want to. So I wanted each atmosphere to have this special, if that makes any sense, I wanted each atmosphere to be special and to be complete.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that could be is if the dynamics of this home, for example, mom and dad, consisted of mom and dad and Denise and Lawrence and Sean. And then when I was in mm-hmm. this atmosphere, I felt like it made the dynamics was so great because it was just dad and mom and Denise and Lawrence and Talisha. So each atmosphere, I totally separated from each other, and I was able to find the uniqueness and the specialty of each atmosphere. And each atmosphere so great, so much support, so much love, but totally two different environments.
Mm.
Two totally
wow.
That we came from both, and I can't say, and I would have to say that neither dysfunctional, if I could say that. Neither really dysfunctional, because when you think about people being married for 40-something, 50 years, that's saying success, first and foremost. So in that sense, it's like I can't, you know, people brag about their mom and dad still being married. And in this sense, with this time frame, you know, thank God my mom or my biological mother or father didn't get married multiple times. They both, they both married very, very young, teens, and they both went into their adult life in their new marriages. You know, in those marriages.
Wow.
So I say that I've seen successful marriages on both sets of parents. And so, so I think that's a good thing that I've seen that. And I forgot where I was going.
Well, you know, a bit, again, we were talking about how you guys were able to meld and be one family. And for me, in hearing you speak, what I took away from what you just shared was that you had to let each home be whole when you stepped into
yes.
And you had to be whole in each home. And so it couldn't be that a part of me had to be disloyal to my mom or a part of me had to be disloyal to my dad. Like, you weren't walking into those situations saying, in order to be loving here or in order to be loyal here, I have to be mean or I have to ignore someone who's here, that you were able to walk into each situation, be whole, give all the love, receive all the love, receive all that each situation had to offer and all that each situation had to give, and go from there. And I think that that's what's missing in a lot of the different households today, is that, you know, again, when we step across the threshold, or, you know, the children step across the threshold sometimes, they don't have that opportunity to be whole and across that threshold, because they are either stepping across carrying the baggage of the way their mother feels, you know, mom's at home by herself and maybe she can't afford to pay this bill or she can't afford to pay that. And here I am walking into this house and this house is very much taken care of. Or, you know,
right.
Things like that the children go through and they don't have that opportunity to be whole. And so, again, that's what I took away from what you just shared, is that in each situation, your parents made sure that the children felt whole. They made it a point to make sure that the children didn't feel like you have to walk into this house and you can't still love your mom when you walk into this house, or you can't still love your dad when you walk into
yeah.
this house, or that you join me more, only less. Go ahead.
And I love that you said whole, because it has to be a joint effort. And I can remember early on that was not there, particularly with my mom and dad. I mean, with my dad and mom, that was not there, because I think there had to be some trial and error, and there had to be some growing and some maturing over in that sense, because there wasn't socioeconomically, there wasn't a it was two different places, and so I think there was, you know, like I said, trial and error, live and learn type of things. And, you know, I think one of the things, and I'm just going to, you know, be kind of transparent, I think one of the things when it comes to dads remarrying, and they have kids, I think the bottom line, first and foremost, let's understand this, and whether people acknowledge this, admit this or not, a man's going to take care of the home he live in. A man is going to take care of the home he lives in. Now, a man that's balanced and mature knows that he has to provide for his children, his biological children who are not in the home. But at the end of the day, the bulk of who he is, the bulk of his finances, the bulk of everything is going to be sold into the home where he lays his head. And that's just a reality. And the problem comes in because people don't want to, first of all, understand that. Or if the man is immature and that's never going to change. Where home is where his heart's going to be, or where his money and everything's going to be. That won't change. But the key here is when this man is whole himself and understand, yes, this is home. Yes, everybody up under this roof is going to get everything that I'm going to get. But him understanding, I have other children outside of this home that I'm responsible, that I have a certain responsibility for. And the end of the day, those kids are never going to probably get out of in child support with kids under the same roof is getting. I mean, that's just likewise, when a mother marries a man and her kids move into a home together, build a home with this man. Her kids are benefiting from what her and this man have worked hard to build up. Her kids are benefiting. Mm-hmm. Them is not his kids, not biologically, those kids are benefiting, because in most cases, take both the mother, quote, and the father to pay the bills, to sow into it, to build a home. So her kids are benefiting from what she's doing, but also from what this other man, what this man is doing, while his kids are in another household. Now, the issue, like you said, comes when there's not balance. For example, mama never got remarried. Mama's struggling to make it every month. Mama lives in a two-bedroom apartment. Not knocking that, but just saying. So you got mom over here in a two-bedroom apartment. Every time she turn around, her car is broken down. And then you got daddy over here in a four-bedroom home in a nice neighborhood, and he and his wife both are driving, you know, 2018 cars. So the children, that's all they see is daddy over here living like this. He's forgetting about us. Mama couldn't even buy me no tennis shoes last month. That's how they see it. But they don't know, in most cases, some cases it's not. Daddy ain't paying child support. Let's keep it real. And in those cases, that's sad, and you're never going to have balance, ever going to have balance in that situation. So, but let's say that daddy's paying child support. He's paying with the court decided for him to pay, and he's paying his child support every month. His child support could possibly end up only being for two children. He may be paying the mama $600 a month. Well, we know $600 a month don't do nothing. But in fairness, he can't pay more than that, especially if he still got to survive and he still got to take care of his home and so forth. So, what do you do in a case like that? you know, I know what most of us want to say, but the reality of it is what's fair. Because I've heard fathers that say, hey, let me do this. You're struggling. You're struggling. Things is rough for you. I can't give you all the money you would need for things to get better. So why don't you just send me the kids and I'll take care of the kids. And then you focus on, you know, visitation. You see the kids when you see the kids. And you folks, let's switch the roles. Now you pay the $600 a month to me. I take the kids. I'll care for this. I'll care for that. I'll do this. Or either don't pay anything and I'll do this. But most mothers, let's keep it real, don't. They not down for that. Why is that? One of the reasons why is that most, as a mother, do we want to risk losing the connection, the connection that we have with our children to another woman? Because that's the way most women think. You know, am I going to lose my kids to this other woman? Because I do know women that who have given their children to the father for the father to be the custodial parent, because they knew that life for them was up and down, and it's worked out very well. So I'm gonna be quiet on that one because I'm sure Minister LaDon, you may have some input in that area.
Well, you know, not necessarily that I have input in that area. I love the conversation you just brought about. One of the things that I think that we have to do as the stepmothers is to step back, take a step back, and look at the situation as a whole. Because a lot of times we're trying to define who we are in the situation. And you know, sometimes some of us may think we're the other mother, we're the other mom. Some of us may think, oh, hey, they have a mother. That's not my role. I'm not the bonus mom. I'm not the other mother. They have a mom, and I'm just their dad's wife, and they come into my household. And so I think, number one, we have to take a look at each situation and not lump everything so generally and make our decisions based upon what is best for the children. And so when we talk, we do see children who come into different challenges where maybe their father is raising them, or maybe everything looks better at their dad's house than it does at their mom's house. But as a stepmother, how do you deal with things like that? How do you make the journey easier for everybody all the way around, because we still have a role. And even as stepmothers, sometimes you end up paying child support, you know, money is coming out of your pocket to pay for your husband's children at somebody else's house. And so where does that sit with you? And a lot of times the first thing that causes conflict, where conflict arises from, is usually from coming from a sense of me, my, I, rather than we and us. I love when we think about our culture and we think about how we got to where we are today. You know, one of the biggest things is it takes a village to raise the children. And when we even open up the Bible, you saw that, you know, some of the things that God expected us to do was take care of mothers who were by themselves, or, you know, take care of the children. So I say that to help us to get a better understanding of ourselves as stepmothers, and to know that we do have a role, and in our role, we should expect from the father, we should expect from the mother. How do we all come together, and how do we make this an easy journey for these children who have to come up in life, and they will have to raise children or deal with children after them, if that makes sense. And so if my child or my stepchildren are coming over and, you know, my husband and I have it made and at their mom's house, it's not the same. What are some of the things that I can do, or what are some of the things that I can say, or how do I make this, how do I impact their perspective and make it into something that's positive, or help to encourage something, a positive perspective, rather than them coming to our home and feeling envious, especially if you have other children there. Because if another child walks into that home and they see that, okay, when I go to dad's house, you know, he seems to have it all, and my sister or my brothers who are there, they seem to have it all. And when I go back home, it's, you know, either doom and gloom or just not as good. How do we help impact those thoughts or those feelings that that child is having to encourage a more positive perspective, you know, a more positive thought process? Go ahead.
One of my thoughts in that, at least I'm thankful what worked in my situation, and we know that every situation is not like mine. But I think when the parent become, see, it starts with the parent. I think it starts with the
yep.
parent. It definitely starts with the parents, both biological and non-biological parents. So with the non-biological parent, let me start there because I know you, my sister, and I know myself. And it ain't a whole lot of women like us. Because I know for a fact that you have cared for and nurtured your children's fathers, other children. You wouldn't see them go hungry. It's been times where you've had to feed them. It's been times where you had to go pick them up out of bad situations. It's been times that they were at your house for days. So you didn't allow what you went through with their father to dictate how you were going to treat the kids.
Amen.
Then I think about, then it's about what I know, not what I heard, but what I know. When I think about me and I think about my son's father and his kids, the ones who have allowed me, not if they don't have a relationship with me, it wasn't because they had a free choice to have a relationship with me or not, but it's not because I didn't extend myself. The ones who have a relationship with me, they treat me just like a mama. And I'm not trying to take the place of their mama and their mama, the honor where honor is due. That's your mama. But I treat them. There's no separation in how I treat them. I treat them like they're my children. I love on them like I love on my child. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and when they were younger, they're adults now. They're self-sufficient. They're on their own. Hey, they're adults. That, you know, but I'm thinking when they were younger, you know, if money was needed, the money came, you know. I just treated them like my children for those who was open to receive me. Sometimes the children ain't open to receive you, sometimes because it's the children's own decision, but then sometimes it's because it's the other parent has spoken negativity, has put this in the child where some of the children feel like, well, you took my daddy from my mama.
Mm-hmm.
The whole truth, they don't know the whole story, and mama's still bitter, and mama's still hurt, and mama's still negative, so she downloads that into the children, and so the parent, the extended mother coming in, don't have a chance in hell, excuse the language, because she's fighting against brick walls. But if the children are open, if the biological parent is mature and open, she would foster that relationship. Why? Because especially if you're coming into as a extended mom, you're now married to the dad, and now I got to send my young children over to you. What I want is a relationship with you. We may not be girlfriends, but I want to have a good relationship with you. I want to be able to call you up on the phone, and we could talk because I want to know who you are. I want to know your heart. I want to know that when I send my babies over there to you, that you're going to love on my babies. I ain't jealous behind that. I wouldn't be jealous that you love on my babies, that you're saying, hey, I want to co-parent with you. And I think that's where the maturity comes in. And when the parents get to the point where they're able to do that, it puts a safe place for the kids. I ain't got, as a child, I don't have to be, I don't have to be, have my guard up. I don't have to feel like I'm not be loyal to my mama if I like you. I won't have to feel like that
mm-hmm.
if both parents are together.
Yeah, you know, and then one of the things, I love how you said that, one of the things that it made me think of, too, is as the stepmom, not being jealous of the mom either, not being in a position where when those children come to your house because of a past, of the past relationship or the past relationship that the dad had with that particular mother, that you're not taking that out on the children. And when they do come to your house, you're treating those children as you either do your own or as you would your own. Also, like you're being motherly to the, you're just taking care of them. Sometimes we will take better care of a stranger on the street, a homeless person on the street, than we will our own family. And so for those stepmoms who, when the children come into their house, you're not treating them well or you're not treating them right, shame on you. Shame on you, because that child has no, they have no choice in how they came into this situation. As adults, we have all the responsibility. We have all the liability. We have all the accountability, and we should not pass that on to the children at all. You know, one of the things that helped me get along better with my children's stepmom at the time, we were both very, very young, and she was bickering with me and coming at me, and I was going back and forth. We were going back and forth for a second, and then it finally dawned on me, and I called her up. I had a conversation. I said, hey, wait a second. You know, we can't fight. Let's stop this. I said, because you know what? My children have to go into your house. And when they're there, you have to take care of my children. And so I want you to choose to take care of my children, not to choose to be mean to them or anything like that. And I appreciate that when they come into their house, into your house, that you will nourish and take care of my children. And so we had that mm-hmm. conversation, and after we had that conversation, things got a lot better, and they've continued to evolve from there. But again, being, you know, I was in my 20s, so, you know, I was very young and foolish, and so was she, and so was their dad, and we just made a lot of decisions that I just saw impacting my girls, and I said, okay, wait a second. As their mom, what do I want for my girls? And so every decision I've made after that was one to, even when their sisters or their brothers come over and come visit, or if they had to stay because things may have not been going well in their own homes, mm-hmm. we're a family. This is family. And so I've always taught my daughters to, you know, take care of their family, and we open up our home to our family. And I learned that from my mom, who also was a stepmother. And, you know, my brothers and sisters could be, because I always just say my brothers and sisters, they had to live with my mom, and my mom's door was always open, and she always loved on them and treated them like she treated her own children. And so, you know, I didn't really realize step and, you know, half until I got older and someone told me, no, that's not your brother, or that's not your sister, that's your stepbrother, or that's your stepsister, or your half-brother, or your half-sister. And I was like, what in the world are you talking about? You know, that's my mom's child, or that's my dad's child. Like, we're brothers and sisters, and that's all there is to it. So, yeah, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I love how you said it. It starts with us, and it does. You know, it starts with the older, the adult, the supposedly older, supposedly more mature and more wise person to start making wise and sound decisions that that will impact these young people positively. We want them to grow up to be whole people, not piece broken pieces of them scattered throughout their journey in this world, and especially if it's due to how we're treating them. Like, you should want that young person to grow up and be whole, because look what you've been through in your life. If you can affect somebody else's life differently, then do all that's within your power to do so. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Yes, indeed. Well, I tell you, this has really been a great show, very informative for those who are listening who may be struggling in this area with it, being an extended parent, maybe having issues where they're not getting along with the biological parent or the children. And hopefully this show just shed some light, maybe gave even some things to work on, because it does start with home. It has to be home, and they have to be whole. And you can't expect children to be whole if the parents aren't whole and they're coming into a dysfunctional situation. So I think that this has really been a good show. It's brought a lot of clarity that it could work. It definitely can work. We know that everybody's situation is different, but what I hope the show brought was hope. You know, just me sharing my testimony and Minister LaDon sharing her message and her testimony, I'm praying that it brought hope, so that if you are in that situation and it's been turmoil and dysfunction, then perhaps this season that you could turn things around by changing you as the parent, whether you're the biological parent or non-biological parent. But it really do start with the biological parent. They set the standard. And then the non-biological parent comes in and supports and stands with that. Because keep in mind that title flip, you know, I'm thinking the term biological and non-biological, because you could be both a biological and non-biological parent. So you're on both sides of the spectrum. You're on both sides of the spectrum. You know, so you're a biological parent, but you're also a non-biological parent. Because if you marry a man or you marry a woman that have their children prior to marrying you, then you're coming in as, you know, on both ends. And so sometimes you got to step out, you know, you got to be able to look at both sides. You know, you're playing both sides. You got to be able to look, you know, your right side is biological. You got to be able to peek over at your left side. And you got to find the balance, because you're both, and you want to treat somebody else's kids the way you would want somebody to treat your kid. It's a little bit more difficult when a man marries a woman who don't have kids and he has kids through a previous marriage. That gets a little difficult, because that woman may not even know how to be a mother, period. Not that she's just terrible towards your children, but maybe just because she's never had the experience of being a mother, she don't know how to mother. And then that's a whole different show. That's a whole different show. That's 10 o'clock hour. So we don't want to continue to hold everyone. Again, we hope that you've enjoyed tonight's show and that it's been a blessing. We have some spectacular things coming up next week. I can't speak on them right now. You will get noticed, but you will want to tune in next week's show. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen indeed. But yeah, thank you guys for tuning in to tonight's show. And please make sure that you tune in to tomorrow night, Thursday evening, Processing the Pain, because we've talked about so many different situations where a lot of pain can and has occurred. And so if you want to know more about working through and not walking through your journey carrying trauma with you into every situation that you go into, you definitely need to be tuning in on Thursdays. If you have never tuned in on a Thursday, make sure you tune in tomorrow night and listen to Coach Dia. She helps people in their journeys how to process through the pain of life's challenges and life situations. Amen?
Amen. And you know, you were talking, yes, tune in. for tomorrow's show is going to be exciting. I thought I was going to bring one message, and God's giving me a whole nother message, and I think I'm gonna keep this going with the non-biological parent, because see, we think everything is new up under the sun, but if you think about it, and I ain't gonna go no further because that's gonna be my message tomorrow. Joseph was the first step parent.
Wow.
So you know,
and he had a story to tell.
Oh, yes, indeed. But, yes, we want to thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Woman to Woman, and we look forward to you being back here next Wednesday, and please tune in on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. for Processing the Pain. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated.
Woman to woman. Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Sing it again.
Woman to songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we sing.
Woman to woman,
woman to woman,
songs of life we bring.
Songs of love and songs of
joy. Woman to woman. Yeah.
Okay, Kayla. Sing it down low for
him.
you know, and they don't have a relationship with me.
Yeah, and then for you to
put on. Hello?